This is Studio 395, a production of the Department of History at James Madison University and its Historical Research Methods course, History 395. I'm Grace Gordon, a sophomore history major. I'm speaking today with Kathleen Brett, a double major in history and political science at James Madison University, and author of the paper Burr and American Conspiracy.
It's history time with Grace and Kathy. Gonna talk about the past, let's make it snappy. It's a podcast that'll sure make your ears happy. It's Studio 395. 395.
We would like to thank our sponsor, Cold Fettuccine. Today we're going to be talking about the Aaron Burr conspiracy and the trial that followed. And we're going to just be talking about the impact that that had on America. Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, Grace. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Ready to talk history.
Ready to talk about Aaron Burr.
Oh, always.
Of course. Wow. So a vice president shooting another political opponent while he is vice president. That's crazy.
Yeah, you wouldn't hear that happening today with Pence or anybody like yeah. that. It shows how crucial it was at the time. But dueling was also kind of a common practice. Like, it was a thing of honor. So.
Really?
That's why he really didn't get any charges against him in that aspect.
So there was nothing, like no one came after him with the law for killing Hamilton.
Well, Hamilton's supporters, obviously, were after Burr because mm-hmm. killing their favorite person, it just made them angry. So Burr actually hid out in South Carolina waiting for everything to blow over.
So what initially sparked your interest in going into research on Aaron Burr?
Well, I've always loved the revolutionary new, like, country period of the United States, mm-hmm. and especially when the musical Hamilton came out, I bought the 700-page book that inspired Lin-Manuel Miranda to write about it,
oh, really?
Or to write the musical, and then I read that in 11th grade for an English project, cover to cover. So I just have always loved that. Mm-hmm. I've always loved, like, the older history, and I felt that the Burr conspiracy was something I really didn't learn about.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't think you have either, in high school even. So I really wanted to learn more about that period that I really enjoy, something new.
Mm-hmm. So could you give us, like, a quick rundown of what the Burr conspiracy is?
Sure, why not? So basically, after Burr killed Hamilton, this is taking place after Thomas Jefferson is in office for mm-hmm. the second time. And Burr is not his running mate because the two kind of butted heads. There was really no running mate at the time when Jefferson first got elected. Burr was in second place, so they put him in the vice president
seat. That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to think of something like that happening today, two opposing men mm-hmm. having to work together to make the nation a better place. But so Burr concocts this plan. Because Jefferson did not support his ambition to be the governor of New York, which is what Burr was really after.
Yeah.
So if he can't be in power, he's going to make his own country in the southwestern United States and Mexico. And during Jefferson's presidency, as was Burr's vice president, the Louisiana Purchase mm-hmm. happened. Mm-hmm. And that kind of mirrored what Burr was after, where he wanted to go get the territory. So basically, Burr takes this big Western tour and talks to figures like Andrew Jackson, who is general at the time, and gets some conspirators on board. Mainly, his biggest fellow conspirator is Harmon Blennerhassett, who had an island on the Ohio River mm-hmm. that really was the big place where everything went down. And so Burr goes on this tour, finds out what he wants and what he doesn't want, conspirators, and then he plans and plots, and there's a lot of different letters that we have today of Burr sending them to different figures at the time, telling them, oh, here's this code, we're gonna do this day. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Burr, there's basically the culminating event happened in December of 1806 at Blennerhassett's Island, and these men had their arms ready, they were ready to go on the river and take what Burr wanted to be his empire.
So how much of, like, America did Burr want for his, like, new country? Do we know, like, how far he wanted to expand?
It's debatable, but most sources say he wanted what was then known as New Spain. So
okay.
Florida, the modern-day Florida and that kind of area. He wanted New Orleans and Louisiana as his, like crown jewel of his empire, mm-hmm. and was ready to take that. And something really interesting that Burr was doing was he was in cahoots with one of the British ministers, Anthony Mary at the time, and basically asked him for money from the crown, which is really not cool considering we're about to fight the War of 1812,
yeah,
and all that is going on.
What about the American
but the
Revolution?
American Revolution, most of all. That is the biggest thing. So the tensions are still high,
yeah.
And basically Britain doesn't respond to, yeah, Mary's request. And Burr also was in talks with...
It would have been really interesting, though, if Britain had responded and supported Burr and tried to, you know, overthrow, yeah, this new country that had just defeated England.
Yeah,
really,
so, like, it's still a sore spot. And then, yeah, Spain is also mixed in there. And he paints this picture for one of the Spanish ministers that, oh, we're going to help you get more for New Spain,
mm-hmm,
when in reality they just wanted money. And basically the Spanish, like, laughed in this guy's face when he went, yeah, and asked for money. So a lot of people view that Burr proposed this to kind of viewed it as crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But Burr's very ambitious. So basically one night the big event happens in December, and
what's the big event?
So like everybody gathering their arms,
okay,
at the island.
Do we know like how big his army was that he
gathered? It wasn't that big. Uh-huh. But the thing is, Burr was not there that night.
What was he planning to do with this army that he gathered in? Where did you say he gathered it?
At Blennerhassett Island
on
the
Ohio
River.
Okay.
They planned to go down south, trying to take Burr's empire for themselves.
Right.
So that night, they were caught by the militia,
mm-hmm,
and Blennerhassett was arrested, obviously. He lost a lot of his money trying to support Burr,
mm-hmm,
so he obviously had beef with Burr. And so, yeah, Blennerhassett was arrested. His house was seized. And then, basically, it's a manhunt for Burr.
Yeah.
So they're all looking, like, where is Burr? Nobody,
yeah,
knows. People have letters. Jefferson has, like, information. But everything, keep in mind, is, like, 2 months late,
mm-hmm,
because of how long it takes for a letter to arrive. They,
right,
don't have social media, obviously.
Yeah.
So then one night in the later that winter, I think it's January, Burr is recognized in Alabama.
Ooh.
He's wearing like a coonskin.
All the way in Alabama.
He's wearing like a coonskin cap.
So
and
is he like fully hiding out right now?
Yes.
He knows there's people out looking for him and he's hiding.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's like hiding, and then this one guy's like, you know, you look like Aaron Burr.
You look familiar. It's interesting that they would recognize Aaron Burr.
His eyes are what gave it away, apparently.
Oh, really?
He had such piercing eyes. That's what people
recognized. Interesting.
Yeah. So Burr is caught, taken to Richmond, and John Marshall, Supreme Court Chief Justice, is chosen to preside over the trial itself.
Okay. So you're talking about a lot about these letters that people are finding, and they're trying to incriminate him using those letters, but eventually they're not ultimately able to incriminate him because he's not at the scene of the crime. But did he ever spell out what his intentions were in the letters, or was he very careful about that?
The careful part was in the cipher. A lot of,
okay,
the letters had a distinct cipher that, mm-hmm, only a few had a code for.
Mm-hmm.
But these letters, they were requested by the prosecution, but some of them could not be seized. There was information that Jefferson had about just other plans that they wanted to take hold of, and he wouldn't let go of them. So thankfully today, we have information in the National Archives,
uh-huh,
and the Library of Congress about it, but back then they didn't have that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of different letters I looked at when writing this paper that kind of spelled out exactly what Burr's ideas were.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so I'm wondering with the like this new like focus these days on like Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr because of like the play Hamilton, I think that like opened up so many doors for interest into that historical era and those people.
Especially for like people that aren't history majors,
yeah,
or just not interested in history in general.
Did you find like any new scholarly works, or did you mostly use like older ones?
So I found a few dissertations that I used for general background information that were from 2018.
Okay.
And one of the books I used was from 2018. One of my favorite books was from the early 2000s, so not necessarily.
So it's kind of spaced out. People have been studying this,
yeah,
for forever.
But I did use the book that inspired Hamilton, Ron Chernow's work from,
mm-hmm,
2004. So that had a lot of good information from the other perspective of a Hamiltonian.
Yeah. So let's talk about the trial now. I'm interested, since this is such an old case, like, was it hard to find the primary sources like the transcripts from this trial, or was like, was it, were you more relying on like secondary research, or what was that like?
So I definitely did use a lot of secondary sources,
mm-hmm.
but I found a lot of good quotes and primary sources within my secondary sources. So it's definitely harder to find trial transcripts from 1807
right.
versus like the 1920s or even today, because they didn't take as detailed notes. And I was able to find some that were generally talking about it, but it wasn't word for word. So I really just used a lot of information that other authors had gathered and mm-hmm. was able to kind of decipher how the prosecution argued. They helped me see a lot of the holes in the argument of the prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't have a lot of the sources, and if they had certain sources, they could have...
You mean, like, more letters that yeah. would incriminate him?
There were certain things that they could never get. Like, there were people that, if they had testified against Burr, it would have sealed the case. It would have been, Burr is definitely guilty.
Why do you think his, like, conspirators were so loyal to him?
Burr had... Like, Burr was a sneaky guy and had, like, few close conspirators after the whole Hamilton incident. But uh-huh. those that were loyal to him, I think they shared the same ambition he had.
Uh-huh.
And
did they want to, like, be connected with this whole idea of, like, a new country, like...
Yeah.
And being, like, founders of it.
So they wouldn't turn on Burr. And mm-hmm. one of the main attorneys said, like, they would never turn on him. They knew it. And so... And also the matter of what Burr was tried for, he was tried for high treason. If Burr was tried for regular treason, he probably would have been convicted. But considering he wasn't there at Blennerhassett Island itself, that is why mm-hmm. he was not.
Do you know what happened with the people who were at the island when, like, so a lot the militia of the, ran into
a
them?
A lot of them got really mad at Burr, obviously. I know Blennerhassett cut ties with Burr. He was actually being put on trial while Burr was on trial himself in Richmond.
Really?
So that was another factor that not many considered.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So ultimately, he's not guilty of yes. high treason.
After that happened, he moved to Europe to hide out. Because
do we know, like, what happened to him after that in Europe? Or is
that he laid low, uh-huh. from what we understand. And then he moved back to the U.S., and then his daughter died in a shipwreck.
Oh.
And his grandson.
I've heard about that story.
Yeah, and then he married, like, very late in life.
Oh,
and
really?
His wife accused him of adultery when he was, like, in his 70s. So he kept it real, man. Like, he was an interesting character till the end.
Keeping it going till
yeah,
the end.
Yeah, go Burr. Not really. But, yeah, so he lived a very interesting life. And also, a lot of the scholars that I looked at said mm-hmm. that the reason Burr was probably one of the reasons he was not convicted of treason was because he proved to be such a loyal American servant, even though
he's asking the British for money,
even though he's asking the British for money, asking Spanish for money, starting his own country against the United States. He was considered to be a loyal servant to the public as he was in the Revolution as a soldier, and he was vice president. And he was in the Senate, you know. He
had a lot of positions of power in the early yeah. American government.
It was, yeah, and if you think about it, it's more, he did it more so for himself, for the ambition that
yeah, than really for the good of the country.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm.
So his ambition is really just called into question with this. Like, what did he actually want? Did he want the country to become better and improve
it? Or did he
it,
want
did
to
he
improve
just,
himself?
Did he just want power?
Yeah. So that's what, he's constantly having a power struggle with Hamilton, with Jefferson, and now with the United States in general.
And then with the United States of America.
Yes.
Wow, really interesting. Thank you so much for talking.
Thanks, Grace.
That's really cool. All right, thanks. Thank you for listening to Studio 395. More interviews on a wide range of historical topics and subscriptions to our podcast are available on our show page at sites.lib.jmu.edu/studio395. To learn about the history major at James Madison University, please visit www.jmu.edu/history. We'd like to give a special shout out and thank you to Sarah Foster for creating our catchy little jingle. Thanks.
It's history time with Grace and Kathy. Gonna talk about the past, let's make it snappy. It's a podcast that'll sure make your ears happy. It's Studio 395. 395.